The Lord said in Matthew 5, "Except that your righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." There are so many, isn't there, in this day and in this world that seem to live their lives out with no care about what happens afterwards, no concern about what it is to stand before a holy God without righteousness. And believers wrestle with that probably more than most. Necessarily, we all have wrestled with that notion of standing before a holy God without a righteousness that will see us standing and stay standing. But we know that message, don't we? We know the message of free grace of God in the finished work, in the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our message, and that's what we rest in. He's done it all, hasn't he? He's accomplished it. He really did. Now, we know in the scriptures, the Pharisees were very righteous people outwardly, but we do know that because of the Lord's rebuke of some of them, that some of them were gross hypocrites, weren't they? Some made a pretentious show of the giving of alms. Some stood in the street corners and prayed endless prayers so that the passers-by would admire them. But for the most part, the scribes and the Pharisees were they were considered, certainly considered, a righteous group of men. They had a saying, the Jews actually had a saying about them, who said, "If the two of all the world would go to heaven, and one would be the scribe and the other would be a Pharisee." That's what the Jews thought of them. They were very righteous living men outwardly. They lived by the Ten Commandments, they paid the tithes, they fasted twice a week, they prayed three times a day, and they did all sorts of charitable works. But the Lord says, doesn't he? He says, "Except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, then you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." And the Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee, wasn't he? He was circumcised on the eighth day, according to Philippians 3, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, and as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What an amazing statement. And yet the Lord says, your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. How can I have a righteousness that is acceptable and pleasing to a holy God? The fact is, nothing less than perfect righteousness is acceptable before a holy God. The righteousness of God himself, that's what we must have. The problem for these men is that they thought themselves whole. They had no need. In Luke 5:27, the Lord calls Matthew. And here in Luke's account, Matthew is called by his Hebrew name, Levi. In verse 27 we read, "And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom." Levi was a tax collector, an occupation that was despised of the Jews. "And he was sitting in his toll box. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him." Follow me. What a wonderful example of the distinguishing grace of God. It's no coincidence, is it, that the Lord Jesus was passing by at that particular point, at that particular time, and called Levi. And when the true Lord Jesus calls, he calls effectually, doesn't he? Irresistibly. We can't resist. He left all. He left his business. He left his prophets and followed him. Everything but Christ became insignificant. Verse 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Don't you find yourselves marvelling at the grace of God, that he would call someone like me, that he would be merciful to the chief of sinners? And if me, then perhaps my friends as well. We long for our friends and family to meet with our Saviour, don't we? But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answered, saying unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." The scribes and the Pharisees despised the Lord Jesus because they thought they were whole, didn't they? And you remember those words of the Lord to the Pharisees in John 9 that they thought they could see. In John 9, we just read, don't turn there now. The Lord said, "For judgment I am coming to this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, you would have no sin. But now ye say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remaineth." They claimed they could see, and yet they could not see God's Christ standing before them, and their sin remained. And here in Luke 5, we read at verse 32, the Lord Jesus saying, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." They thought themselves righteous. They looked to the law. And as they looked to the law, Christ was no effect to them. You see, it's not that men don't have righteousness, is it? I mean, men have got plenty of righteousness, haven't they? But the righteousness they have is self-righteousness. And that righteousness is no righteousness at all. The scripture says there is none righteous. As if to preempt the objection, the Holy Spirit says, no, not one. None righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And Paul himself, previously a Pharisee, summed it up in Philippians 3. "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Gospel of God's free grace in the accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only message of salvation that doesn't allow you to do anything. You bring something to the table of salvation and you disqualify yourself. It's the only message of salvation that gives to the Lord all the glory for having done all the work all by himself. He finished the work the Father gave him to do according to that everlasting covenant. He put away our sin and he gave all his people perfect righteousness in the process. 2 Corinthians 5:21 will be known, so well known to us, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." We have to be made righteousness. We can't conjure up righteousness, contrary to what men seem to think. God hath made him sin for us in that perfect work of substitution. Him who knew no sin. The Lord Jesus was not a sinner. He was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. May we rejoice in our blessed Saviour, who by his doing and dying has truly made chosen sinners the righteousness of God in him. May the Lord bless us to us today. Okay, I think we're going to...